أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم، وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وارزقنا بمعرفة العلم، وسهل أخلاقنا بالحلم، وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. آمين آمين آمين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So just as a final reminder for ourselves and tying it into what we've been speaking about in the last few days, what do we want to be concerned for when we, as we leave here and we go back to, you know, somewhat of our normality of our life and doing the normal things that we do? We should try and bear in mind that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as faculties, He's given us faculties so that they are used to bring us closer to Him and that we come to know Him. And amongst the most precious of those faculties that we've been given is our heart. Right? Is our heart. And you know what I mean when I say heart here, yeah? Is the heart, the spiritual heart. That is the most precious thing that Allah has given us. And the safeguarding of that heart is to really irrigate it with which water? What water irrigates that heart? What water is nourishing of that heart? But we say repentance, but repentance can be placed under what though? More generally speaking. Sorry? That's all of what you're saying comes under a term that encompasses all of what you're saying. What?
Knowledge.
He said knowledge. Yeah. Ibadah is worship. All forms of obedience. Do you understand? So wherever you are attaching to obedience, you are watering your heart. Be that serving your parents, be that, you know, taking care of your kids, be that doing your livelihood as a way of every time you provide for your family, you know, that's sadaqah, that's charity, you know. All of that is obedience and all of that waters the heart. Amongst that, then we have knowledge. Amongst that, we have forms of worship. Amongst that, do you understand what we're saying? Right? So we should remember that the heart is irrigated with the water of obedience. And obedience is to be exercised through the use of all of our faculties, all of our gifts. So when it comes to the question of one's eyes, they should be used to bring about, they should be used to derive what they say in Arabic, al-i'tibar. You know, you use your eyes for things that help you take lessons from and reflect, right? So now we're talking about how we use these other gifts that Allah has given us in a way that will inform our heart being watered in the act with obedience, right? So when it comes to the gift of the eyes, we want to be using them and looking at those things that cause us and help us to be reflective. Right? reflective, obviously, about Allah, reflective about ourselves, reflective about our life, right? That is the correct use of the gift of having sight. And our ears, we want to be obviously listening to that which is inspiring, that which is wholesome, things obviously like the Book of Allah, the Book of Allah, listening to that with reflection and with the hope that you get some meaning from there, right? Listening to correct speech, correct words, right? Exposing yourself to those things where you know that what you're putting in through your ears is also a channel to your heart. Okay? What goes in through the ears is a channel to the heart. So we want to be observant of what we're letting in through our ears in a way that it is making our heart, irrigate our heart, water our heart. Why do we want to water the heart? It's because we know that by watering the heart, it starts becoming receptive to the understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The gift of the tongue. And the gift of the tongue is that we try and occupy it with remembrance of Allah, right? And use it to speak good. مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لَيَسْمُتْ. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said, right? Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, let them say that which is good, otherwise just keep it shut. Don't say anything. Right? So remembrance and exercise. And remember, like we said, we mentioned this. Nowadays, texting, posting, tweeting, Instagram, whatever you want to say, that is all an extension of your tongue, effectively, because it's a form of communicating. Yeah. So that is equally something that we must be careful of. The fruit of hands and feet. To exercise one's hands and feet in striving towards that which is good. All of us here, you know, have travelled. Most of us here have travelled some distance to come here. And it was a form of travel. You know what I mean? You had to make sa'i, you know. Sa'i is this word that's used for when you do the Safa Marwa. You know, you go between Safa and Marwa. Yeah, there's that sa'i between those two peaks. You have to, we're saying that we use our hands and our feet in a way that we're always striving towards obedience, right? So we're subjugating them in the direction of where obedience is, okay? And so we should know that if we do not irrigate our heart through these channels, then we are going to give it its drought. You see, you're drying it out. And the drying of the heart will mean it cannot be then receptive to drawing close to Allah or knowing Allah. It's like barren, you see. So, in effect, obedience is what makes the heart fertile, you know. It starts becoming fertile. It starts then becoming, it then can give you produce. And the produce here are what? Understanding about our Creator. Right? That's the produce. Okay? And so to help us focus on this, a final point on that, and then we'll say some closing sort of remarks. To help us focus on that, Ibn Ta'ilah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he draws his attention then to an analogy of how to look at the world. Why would he do that? Why do you think he now makes an analogy of the world? How we need to perceive the world in its nature? After speaking about having these faculties and how we should be exercising them in a way that we are then watering this most prized gift that Allah has given us, our heart, he then draws this, he brings an analogy of the world. Why do you think he's going to do that?
All these factors are essentially related to the world, these senses and these.
Fantastic. Yeah. Essentially, then, for us to exercise well these faculties in the choices that will be obedient and in the choices that will bring us closer to Allah, it's all happening in the dunya. So the wrestle now, one of the main challenges is the world itself, right? By using these faculties to do good actions, what are good actions essentially? What do good actions serve as for us in our understanding? In what way do they serve us? Sorry? Yeah, they. Thank you. They cleanse the heart. And what's another aspect of that? Other than cleansing the heart. What? Huh? Also, thank you. It makes you receptive to the knowledge of Allah. And what else? What was that? They are your testimonies in the hereafter. So good actions are also what? They are like your provision, your store provision. Yeah? Because remember, the world is a place of travel. Yeah? So the good actions are also, what are they? They are also your provision for a journey yet to come. You follow this, yeah? For a journey yet to come. So when he gives this analogy of the world now, he's giving an analogy of this world on the understanding that we recognize that this world for all of us is a place of travel. It's not a place that we are going to abide in forever, right? We understand that. So to help us conceptualize that more clearly, he says you should then note that the world with you should be like one who has left to wander the desert. Who has left to wander an open plain. They are. It's like a vast open plain. Right? And you are necessarily needing to take on that open plain with you a certain, you need to take with you storage and provision to survive. Yeah? He said, but what happens with some, without realizing, in their preparations and taking on that journey, they end up storing what they think is provision, but is actually a bag full of snakes and scorpions. Why is it a bag full of snakes and scorpions? Because of the behaviors that they did of disobedience. You understand? It becomes like a provision of what? Snakes and scorpions, right? He goes, because the behavior of disobedience in that situation of travel, they represent like taking a provision of snakes and scorpions. And what do you use provision for when you're traveling? You draw upon it, don't you? To benefit you. Yes? You draw upon it to benefit you, to give you nutrition, to carry you further. You understand? He goes, but what happens then if you haven't taken the right provision in this world through doing the acts of obedience? When it comes to hereafter, you're really going to see what provisions you really made. And if it's in the forms of snakes and scorpions, when you now go to think what you've got by way of benefit, it's going to consume you. As in, it's what? It's going to mean a punishment. It's not going to benefit you. So we understand this about our journey in this world now, right? Is that while we're here, we try and resolutely keep ourselves to do things always of obedience, always of ta'ah, right? Always of those things that inshallah will serve us in all the ways that we already said, right? Watering the heart, bring us in the dunya, knowing God. But ultimately, it is what? It becomes the provision of the hereafter. Yeah? You see the power and the significance of doing obedience now. It's not just how it affects you in this world, it's ultimately what you're also going to mean in the hereafter. Right? So that is why when we leave this space, we must keep ourselves to this reminder that we are always trying to build up our provisions. Yeah? And like we said, those provisions can be built up in numerous ways. Yes? Numerous ways. And the most important that we would say is in helping those provisions to be most nutritious is that if they are informed from the place of knowledge. There, you understand? You use knowledge to inform you how you take those provisions, which ones you select. Because what knowledge begins to do, it begins to crystallize where is the right fruit and which one isn't. Just by looking, that is the sweetest one, that one isn't. Knowledge gives you that discernment of knowing what fruit is the best fruit for you, for the one you need. You understand? So knowledge helps you then become specified in how you take your provisions in the most beneficial way to your particular need. Yeah? You understand? So Tayyib, that's just a closing point. By the way, we did 8 pages of the text for those who may want to know. Well, sorry? It is the total text. I can just give me a second. The total text is about 46. The total text is about 46 pages. And he obviously talks about a few, he adds on to that, right? And that is 8 pages by me missing out certain sections as well. I've selected certain sections. Yeah. So, inshallah, I mean, like I said, there's an English version of it. I don't know how good the translation is. I haven't read it, so I can't. But there's an English thing by Sherman Jackson. He's got an English version of it. If you want to get hold of it, it's up to yourselves. Oh, Sheikh Amjad. Oh, really? Is it Sheikh Amjad's got a translation of that? Really? MashaAllah. Oh, I didn't know that. That's amazing. Sheikh Amjad is someone that I actually lived with him. When I first came to Syria, I stayed with him. He actually, he was my roommate. And he's a very solemn, a very lovely man, MashaAllah. He lives in Birmingham, which makes him extra lovely that he can live in Birmingham and still be lovely. That's quite amazing. He's mashallah. He's a tabarakallah. I didn't know. Thank you for that. Yeah, jazakallah khair. Okay, so just some final words, because I'm quite concerned about, you know, time and journeys and traffics. Some people had like 6-hour journeys getting here, which was fantastic, I think. Alhamdulillah, we just spoke about everything done there is, inshallah, an effort. You see what I mean? Sa'i. So don't ever think what you spend, the time you spend towards getting to the good is as important as doing the actual good that you wanted to facilitate. In fact, it could arguably be even more important. You know, the preparation to do things, yes, is the hardest work. Because it's the unseen work. You understand? And then when things happen, people just come and they'll take from the benefit that is presented without really thinking about, well, what went before? You know? And that's why, for those who prepare things, for those who have logistically set up stuff, and I don't, you know, particularly Sister Nosheen, who is, Allah reward her, and everyone should make particular dua for her well-being, you know. You know, it wasn't, she single-handedly in many ways, you know, looked at this place, picked it out, and pushed for this. And then the brothers at Fountain, obviously, they supported from a logistical aspect of the backing of, you know, registrations and things. So yeah, it was a collective aspect, but alhamdulillah, you know, du'as for all of those involved in preparing, you know. You know, whenever you want to do something, anything that is of taste, yeah, anything of taste that brings delight, the more time you spend preparing with the right intention, the more brilliant it is. Take cooking. The most amazing foods take long to prepare. You know when you cook traditionally, yeah? You do gulab jamun, bro. That's another level. I was like, I didn't know this is the whole process. You just take it out and just scoff it, a couple of spoons, and that's it. You're like, what happened? Yeah, they've been 2 days, they've been doing this, they've been doing that. You thought, really? Is that what goes on? Did you understand? It takes time, right? And so, you know, we should, inshallah, you know, we make dua for them. We do our dua for everyone that was involved in helping this happen. And like you said, make dua for their well-being, their risk, you know. And inshallah, for tawfiq. Because, you know, you always want Allah to give you the ability to continue to do good. Right? And that you grow with that and you're able to develop upon that. Yeah? For myself, I just want to thank you all, yes, for coming and attending, you know, and having the patience of sitting through classes and, you know, bearing with myself. And I want to thank you because it obviously gives me the opportunity to benefit. I benefit myself more than yourselves, I think. Well, I hope so. So, yeah, Jazakallah khair. I apologize if I said anything untoward to someone. Maybe the young stud, young couple comment might have got a bit, registered a bit on the negative side, maybe, I'm not sure. It's all right. When you get a bit older, it's okay. You can kind of have a little crack at these things, I suppose. But sorry about that if I offended anyone with something like that. But yeah, Jazakallah khair, you know. And inshallah, you know, make dua for each other. That Allah gives us more of an increase in our understandings and in our works. Remember, when we started this short retreat, which I think has been, mashallah, very beneficial. It's been very great. I think the kids have enjoyed it. You know, it's been a really good place. Mashallah, you know, the activities, inshallah, the reminders and the classes and just the break of things, you know, I think it's helped us. Generally, what you get to feel from these short retreats, which I particularly like, is that you almost feel like you've gone into a time capsule for a couple of days. It's like, it's only a couple of days. It's almost like, what the heck happened, man? It's like we've been here for so long. And it's a massive barakah from Allah, you know, it's a real gift from Allah. And it's a gift of having good company, you know, mashallah, inshallah, we all had really good company, you know, like, you know, brothers getting along and sisters getting along, and that's really important, that is really important, you know. I think that's one of the most key things about why such gatherings for me are, they're indispensable for this age, really, is that aspect of it. Because I think you've got to take into account that we are in very, very difficult environments. And I don't say that with, you know, I'm not one to play no violin, all right? People know me, I don't, you know. But I think that where we are set in the context we're in these aisles, right? We're, you know, it's hard. And I think that getting spaces like this are really important for the sustaining of our iman and also to help us increase in our iman. You know, so I think that's it's a big gift from Allah that He's taken it from us. You know, He's let us do that. You know, He's given us the ability to do that and attend and benefit. That's a massive ni'mah. You know, if you think about it, we're quite a small group. You know, we're like, what, 40, 50 odd people. You know, that's small in relation to Muslims and needs, you know. So when you think of it like that, you realize that it's a big blessing that Allah, you know, benefits us to be able to have given us the ability to have chosen to have come and to have partaken in such a, you know, inshallah, in a very beneficial time, inshallah ta'ala. Yeah. Does anybody want to say anything? Any comments?
Thank you for
your time. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feekum. It's an honor for me, you know, alhamdulillah. Yeah, it's Allah reward you all, you know, alhamdulillah khair.
So, just on behalf of us organizers, inshallah, we thank you for coming. Mashallah, it's been a good group. I think there's been a lot of new friends being made on the boys' side. I don't know about the girls' side, but on the boys' side, definitely some new friends have been made. So, and I think people got to spend time with friends that already knew, and the children got to spend time with their parents, and the things on. So, And we've got to pray in congregation, remember Allah. So if nothing else, at least we benefited from that aspect. I just need to plug Sacred Study again. So for those who are on the course, we've changed it now. Okay, so it's now a one-year program. The first year and the year one, year two aspect of it is gone. So the first year program would run from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And you'll be studying purification, Quran, Seerah, Aqidah and Fiqh. So those who haven't studied, been on that course, and are able to, we encourage you to inshallah come. If you can't come, if you can, you know, spam social media, the guys that have already been on the course should have received, been spammed with it. So if you can just keep spamming people, pass the message on, encourage people to come. For those on the plus course, so that's the majority of people here that have been through. So the plus course will run from 9 to 12. So the 9 o'clock first class will be, the first class for the first 12 weeks will be on guidance. Then the second 7 weeks will be on history. And then the last 7 weeks will be on health and well-being. And then you'll be studying purification and Quran. And the Quran and the Seerah split. So you'll be the first 13 weeks will be Quran. And then the last 13 weeks will be the Seerah. So we're doing, for the Seerah this year, we're looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his responses, in how he responded in situations throughout his life. For taking examples of Seerah, and then how we apply that to our situations and what our responses should be. And then for the class year, it's 9 to 12, but every year we're going to be changing the subject of the Quran. Next year, perhaps what we think about is looking at parables. And the Seerah will change to look at a different topic. So every topic will change. So, and the idea of the class is now, those in class, is about development of yourselves into functional Muslims. So we'll be looking at texts and things to study that will help us develop as Muslims in a functional way. So that's the purpose. So those who are able to, inshallah, please register as soon as possible so it makes it easier for us. Pass the message on, encourage people. You know, inshallah, people will benefit from it. No, so if you want to do the thingy, then you have to register for the Essentials course. So the Plus course is is cheaper than the Essentials course. So if you want to do the extra 2 hours, then will you be studying?
So I'll be from 9 to 12. But to 2.
Yeah, but then you'll have to register for the Essentials, but you can do 9 to 2, if that makes sense.
So I have to pay for
both? No, you pay for one, but you pay for the Essentials, but you can do the... Because the Plus is cheaper than, because it's obviously less hours. But just email us and we'll, yeah, it's fine. We'll sort out. So just before we leave, I'll ask Sis Noshin just to make some final comments and remarks, and then we'll ask Shastaki to make a dua, inshallah.